House Committee on Environment and Land Use. We're convened today, and I'd like to welcome back our esteemed panel. It's nice to see all of you. We are going to open a work session on House Bill 2458. And Mr. Administrator, if you would give us a rundown on this bill and what the committee is looking at.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This committee last heard House Bill 2458 on February 13th. And the original bill spoke to what it did was direct the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to remove species from the list of threatened and endangered species. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have -2 amendments before us. The last time we did meet on this issue, the committee discovered, among other things, that there were 36 state listings and 5 species had been removed by the federal government, 27 had been grandfathered, and 9 had been put on the committee or commission action list. As far as -2 amendments, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it replaces the original measure. And it allows the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to waive takings prohibitions in Oregon statute, but the waiver is consistent with recovery efforts for threatened and endangered species. It defines the condition of take and defines some other terms. It provides the purpose of listing a species as threatened or endangered, requires specific actions by the Fish and Wildlife Commission in order to achieve species recovery. The -2 amendments remove the permit system from scientific take and requires prioritization of recovery effort. It requires Oregon's threatened and endangered species list to include those species of wildlife included on the federal list as of May 15, 1987, unless the species is later removed from the federal list and certain criteria are met. Mr. Chair, the -2s also provide for emergency additions to Oregon's threatened and endangered species list and provides provisions whereby the Fish and Wildlife Commission may use discretionary authority in determining whether to list or remove a species from the list. Changes the requirement for management plans to recovery plans, provides time limits to the commission for adoption of interim protective measures, prioritization of recovery efforts, and deadline extensions. It also allows for incidental take concerning protection of persons from bodily harm. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, relative to -2 amendments, the governor's office has put forth a statement. And the governor's office statement reads, it's a memorandum to the members of the House Committee on Environment and Land Use, dated June 26, 2003, reference House Bill 2458-2 amendments. I have reviewed the -2 amendments to House Bill 2458 scheduled for hearing tomorrow, which is today, in the House Committee on Environment and Land Use. These amendments have the support of the governor's office. Unfortunately, the governor's staff has a meeting scheduled that conflicted with this meeting, so they couldn't be here, Mr. Chair. But the governor's office has said and wanted in the official record that they do support the -2 amendments, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. This will be invited testimony only. And we'll begin with Representative Jensen, who is one of the sponsors of the bill. And good morning, Representative, and if you can discuss those amendments for us, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, thank you for reconvening to hear this bill. Appreciate all of you and all of you being here to carefully consider this. First of all, Mr. Chairman, if I might, a little background history. First of all, you would understand that this is not my bill. My name and Representative Krupp's name appear on the bill as it was originally submitted and as your committee heard it some months ago now. The bill that you have, the -2 amendments that you have before you, are basically the Fish and Wildlife Department's amendments and the Governor's Office amendments. They did, it was true that it was with my consent that they use the vehicle that that you have before you, and it is true that I've worked with them to some considerable extent over quite a period of time to get here. But just for the record, the bills that you've heard on this particular issue on the Dash 2 amendments are significant. That the Dash 2 amendments might apply to you are significantly different than the Dash 2 amendments as such. And Mr. Chair, while I can talk at some length about the bill, I think with your obviously recognition, it would probably be more appropriate if the Department of Fish and Wildlife, who have been very instrumental in this, be the ones who present the, if you wish, the Dash 2 amendments as such for you. I am here, however, to ask for your support of the Dash 2 amendments, and I would be delighted to try and answer any questions that you might have in relationship to them or any of the other agenda issue items that might appear with this bill.
How's your time schedule, Representative?
My time schedule is your schedule, Mr. Chair.
Roy, would you like to come up at this point? And Representative, I'll ask you to stay there. And when Roy's concluded, we may have some questions at that point.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Roy Elker, Deputy Director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And I can summarize, Mr. Chair, what these Dash 2 amendments do for 2458. These amendments essentially do four things. First of all, they establish a more definite goal for the State Endangered Species Act by shifting the focus from conservation to recovery. Second of all, they increase the department's flexibility in granting waivers from the prohibition on take of protected species. Third, they make the criteria for listing and delisting species consistent in the Act. And third, they will help, they streamline the delisting process by, one, assuring ODFW authority to delist grandfather species, which were species that were added originally to the list upon its enactment originally in 1987, and two, provide for some automatic consideration of a review of delisting species upon delisting by a species that's currently on the federal ESA list.
Any questions of Mr. Ehrlichman?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you. It might be it's just a little early on Friday morning for me, but that whizzed past me pretty fast. Do you have a written copy of your testimony?
I have one that I've marked up, unfortunately, Representative Rosenbaum, but I can have one for you pretty shortly.
Okay. I think I got one and two. I'm not sure I got three and four. So let me just ask you a question about number one, and then maybe you could hit three and four briefly again. What is the significance of changing the goal of the state ESA from conservation to recovery?
There's a couple things there. First of all, it makes our ESA Act much more consistent with the federal act in that the goal for the federal act is recovery of the species. So the species at some point in the future would be removed from the list. And so when our act was established back in 1987, and I was not present on that enactment, they chose to kind of talk more about conservation of the species, which means pretty much protect them, even though there might be just a few of them left, protect them and save them how they are. And we thought in looking at our act and making it kind of in line a little bit more with the federal act, and also of the public's, what I'd say, expectation, that if an animal is on the State Endangered Species Act, that the state agencies should be doing actions to help and promote in the recovery in the species, to bring the species back from very, very low numbers. And so that's really the primary goal of putting that in writing, putting that in the statute, that what we're talking about here is recovery of the species. And also, it helps us then also in figuring out what recovery looks like, what a plan should do to recover the species, and know when we get to recovery, then the animal will be off the list, which is the goal of any management action or any species on the list, we ultimately want to get to a point where it's not on the list any longer, that it's recovered. And so by just going to the word recovery, I think it fits in the public expectations of the state of Oregon, and it puts us in line with federal act a little bit more.
Could I just clarify the answer? Are you saying then that there would be species that we currently would have listed for conservation purposes where no steps you take could bring them back in terms of higher numbers than they are, and that those would be delisted as a result of the fact that you could never... I mean, I may not have just tracked what you said, but it sounded like you said if there was nothing you could do to restore them to healthy numbers, they would be delisted because recovery wouldn't be possible.
Well,
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
So no, and
tell me what you mean.
No, I was not. I was speaking more to why we're changing the definition of the act or the Goldie Act from conservation to recovery. Now, the other thing in these amendments, it does make the criteria very similar, the same for both listing and delisting. So in a sense, part of the delisting criteria might be that we're unable to do anything in the state that would bring a species back. And frankly, we have some animals in the act now, like I've spoken to this committee before, like Aleutian cat and goose. There's really no management in the state that the state can take to show that we can increase habitat here because it's a migratory species.
Thanks. And then you were going to refresh my memory on numbers 3 and 4.
Sure. Number 3, again, as I stated, make the criteria for listing and delisting species consistent. And 4, and then streamline the delisting process by that assuring in the statute, in these amendments, that the department has the authority to delist the grandfathered species, which are the species that originally were on the federal list in 1987 that were just transferred by statute onto our list. And it also provides for an automatic consideration that if an animal that's on both lists, federal and state, if the federal government delists the animal, then automatically our commission will then review its status in the state to see if it's warranted to be delisted here.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the panel?
Yes, sir.
Representative Greenman.
I have a few, if I may. You, as I remember, you testified in favor of the original version of this.
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, I think we testified in support of 2468.
68, which was...
Yes, but not in support of the original 2458.
The 2468 was the original version of these Dash 2s.
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, that's correct.
Could you tell me what are in the Dash 2s that are responsive to the concerns that were raised at that time from some of the groups that were very worried? It was a very quick hearing, as I remember, very brief,
right.
And they raised some concerns. And I wonder if you could just walk through the Dash 2 amendments to tell me what's been changed that's aimed at meeting their concerns.
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, my sense is that... Oh, thank you very much. Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, essentially, I can't go to the line and paragraph. I think there have been some very minor changes, but essentially you're looking at 2468 here in this amendment.
Okay. And if I may
follow?
There have been some meetings in the past couple of weeks that talked about some changes moving towards some consensus issues. Were they just rejected, or did you run out of time? Or
Mr. Chair, Representative Green, like, yes, there have been meetings with various constituencies on House Bill 2468, currently in Senator Shields' committee, or it was till the committee closed. Senator Shields, he's been working on some language. I'm not really quite sure where that stands right now. I guess perhaps I'd yield the floor to Representative Jensen on that issue, sir, if I could.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Greenlick. Thank you for the question on this. I have spent some time in the last 2 days reviewing some of the proposals or requests that came out of Senator Shields' work group or committee, and not committee because I don't think it reached the committee point. They did have a public hearing with some amendments, and in the main, those amendments have not been or are not were not acceptable as far as we were concerned. They did continue to work on this in a work group. I was not invited, nor was my staff invited, to participate in that work group. And in fact, until such time as it became apparent that the vehicle that they had planned to gut and stuff wasn't available to them, I had no knowledge at all of specifically what those issues were. I received yesterday afternoon a copy of those. I spent a portion of last night and got here this morning early because of our early morning session and spent some considerable amount of time reviewing them and also talking to the good senator's staff going through those. I have yet to reach an opinion on all of those amendments. I have an opinion on some of them. I don't have an opinion on some of the others. The simple nature of time has not allowed that. If there are things there that the governor's office and the department and others are in agreement with, then I would, and I have made this commitment to Senator Shields, I would be happy to sign the mother's slip for an amendment to be considered by the Senate Rules Committee at the time, that if you all choose to pass this out, and if the House chooses to pass it again, that they would... Senate Rules Committee could consider. And that's a very quick overview of what has transpired with that.
Mr. Chair, if I can ask either you or the good representative a question. I'm trying to find out what we're up to here now then. We sent 2468 over to the Senate, and it's there. And if what I just heard is right, we're essentially resending the same bill under a different number back to the Senate?
Mr. Chair, if I may, yes, that is true. The bill that 2468 is in the Senate in the dead committee at this particular point. This is an issue that the governor's office and the department feel that they have a very strong need for in order to be able to work with the Endangered Species Act, in order to, in essence, be able to improve it, because if you can't work with it, it's not a very effective act. And in order, therefore, to promote the issues and wishes of the governor's office and the department, I have used this avenue to try to carry this issue forward.
As of Wednesday, this was a dead committee. It was reborn. So we're just trying to get the same bill back over to the Senate so it can go to a different committee? Is that
fundamentally, at this point, that is true. However, since you asked for specifics...
I'm kind of curious here about what's going on.
Mr. Chair, again, with your permission, there is only one significant amendment, and this is in Section 2, 1, sub E, has been added to the bill, this is an outgrowth of the other Senator Shields committee and Attorney General opinion, the only difference between fundamental difference between this and the bill that you acted on before is that particular line item.
Thank you very much, sir.
Any further questions? Seeing none, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and thank you for your hearing.
Same.
I think we took about 3 minutes to hear the testimony, to read the testimony of the governor, governor's office, and the representative at ODFW. So, are there any here who wish to speak in opposition to this bill? Okay, Steve, you want to come forward, and we'll allow 2 minutes to each of you. So if you'd like to come forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Stephen Gaffori. I'm here representing the Wildlife Society. I'm not speaking in opposition to the bill. I hope that's all right. The Wildlife Society is a group of wildlife professionals and is not an advocacy organization. We've been involved in this issue because we're concerned about the present Endangered Species Act. We think it needs work. We testified so when 2468 first came out. We were especially concerned about the issues of take, the management flexibility, including the delisting and changing conservation to recovery. We think those are positive steps. We had some concern about the delisting. We feel very strongly that the issue of listing and delisting should be a scientific issue, not a political issue, and that once that a determination has been made that an animal is either in danger or not in danger, that the ODFW ought to make that, the commission ought to say, here's what the facts are, and then a political decision would be, now what do we do about it? And at that point, you ought to be taking into account cultural and scientific and economic issues. We think that's a what to do about issue rather than are they endangered or not issue. Let me just say in response to Representative Greenlick's questions about what's happening over in the Senate with negotiations, we have been present at a number of meetings, and I frankly am very optimistic that we're reaching a consensus. Part of the thing is that Representative Jensen has been very amenable to in discussions, sidebar discussions, not with our organization, but what we've been doing has been communicated to the senator, and his involvement is, I mean, to the representative, his involvement has been active and present, and I think what I'm optimistic that what we can come up with is a place where we agree on a number of things, agree to disagree on some other things, and pass out a bill that is better than what we have in present law. So if this bill helps that process along, then so be it. We think that's a good thing. If this bill doesn't pass, I think that the process is still going to go on in the Senate, and there will be some vehicle for making sure that by the time this session ends, all the people who are involved in making sure that we have a more workable act for the state of Oregon will be happening.
Any questions for Mr. Kapoor? Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Chairman Gerard, members of the committee, my name is Jay Ward. For the record, I reside at 8120 Southwest 56th in Portland, Oregon. I'm the Conservation Director of the Oregon Natural Resources Council. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before the committee today to address HB 2458. Contents of the bill, as you've heard, have had a rather tortured journey through the legislature. It was first introduced, it was universally rejected by the conservation community.
If you'll speak to the amendments, please.
Of course.
We just had the history.
We'll go right into them. Section 2 seems to be an attempt to craft a new set of exemptions to the Endangered Species Act by waiving the current incidental take permitting process for a variety of reasons that appear to be broad and sometimes contradictory. Section 2 sub 1B would waive the permitting process and allow unsupervised, uncontrolled, unreported, and unmonitored take of a threatened or endangered species if the wildlife were, quote, damaging land that the person owns or lawfully occupies or is damaging livestock. Mr. Chairman, take should be the last resort, not the first. Unfortunately, in 2458, there are no requirements for the landowner to take steps to avoid take, such as in the case of livestock predation, avoiding predator dens, utilizing non-lethal deterrence, and engaging in best management practices, as is currently required by the federal ESA. Additionally, 2458 is silent as to the mitigation that a person must engage in after taking a species. 2 sub 1C is a waiver for protection of human life. That's an understandable and desirable, but unfortunately incomplete clause. While there's universal agreement that Oregonians should be able to defend themselves and their families from threats to their lives, 2458 includes no requirement that a person who takes a threatened or endangered species even report the reasons for the taking, and furthermore does not require ODFNW review the taking for both enforcement and scientific data gathering purposes, as is currently in statute. Section 1D is confusing and controversial. It actually authorizes a waiver for a take if you have to get a waiver or have to get a permit from the federal government for theirs. It also ties Oregon's Endangered Species Act to the federal 4D rule for wolves, which was just promulgated by the Bush administration on April 1st and is currently tied up and is being contested in litigation. I'm not certain why the state would want to hitch its wagon to such a controversial and unsettled federal rule. 2 sub 1E, which Representative Jensen referred to, is quite curious. It authorizes a waiver for a process it then deletes 2 pages later in section 4 sub 4, which is the current state incidental take process. So you get a waiver for a process that no longer exists. Section 2 sub 1F grants a waiver for necessary management of species. At our meeting with ODFW, the governor's staff, and the Wildlife Society last week, the statement was made that basically the department already has this authority under their current ITP process to do necessary management activities. So why put new language into a statute that's already working under existing statute? 3 sub 2, the recovery definition is somewhat confusing. The term proportion is vague and legislatively undefined. If the committee so determines, I would suggest that legislative intent language be included to clarify the meaning of proportion or substitute the term portion. The term life histories is somewhat vague as well. Section 4.4 is, this subsection is deleted under the new 2458. That's a significant amendment that Representative Jensen referred to. Conservation community feels it should be retained and enhanced to include a requirement that ITP applicants must include a statement of need for detailing the reasons for the ITP, a statement of measures the applicant has conducted or will conduct to avoid take, and a statement of measures the applicant or agency must perform to mitigate the take. I can submit the written comments for the record, but appreciate you taking the time, and I think I've probably used my 2 minutes.
Any questions for Mr. Ward?
Could I just ask one? Yeah. Brief one. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Ward. This is by no means my area of expertise. I mean, I don't know from MODOC suckers, but the species that seems to be mentioned most commonly in this context is the gray wolf, and then I see under issues discussed on our staff measure summary, the MODOC secker. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. So can you say something about the implications briefly for those two species?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, I personally can't speak to the MODOC sucker. I'm pretty much as in the dark. But I would say many of the provisions of this bill seem to be targeted at the wolf, but they would have subsequent downstream effects for other species. Without getting into further detail, there's a section that says that our ability, I think it's 5.3C, gives the state a pass if Oregon's efforts won't recover a listed species. Migratory animals like the bald eagles and salmon could be delisted simply because they spend significant portions of their time outside of the state. So that's not necessarily just a wolf item. It will go into a lot of charismatic species that I think Oregonians care a lot about. I hope that was somewhat germane.
Any other questions, Mr. Chair? Thank you. Representative Mitch Freeman.
I'd like to ask you a question about... it's subsection of something 9. It's on page 6, line 26, and then on to page 7. Do you have dash 2s?
I do. Just takes me a second to get there. page 6, line...
It's subsection 9, and it talks about... It's a thing that Representative Rosenbaum asked about before. It's a question about deciding to add or remove a species from a list, from the list, based on, and I was interested in sub C on the next page, not likely to be recovered by an action that could be undertaken in the state of Oregon. Now, my understanding of this, if well, I'm not sure I have an understanding of this, but let me ask you about this, Mr. Ward. Well, if we had a species that, let's say, a migratory bird species that was in Oregon some of the time in its life cycle, it might be argued that the recovery of it is not really dependent on actions taken in Oregon. But my sense is that the protection of it might be. And would this allow one to remove protection from a species simply because the basic recovery of that species would have to take place in Canada or Idaho or somewhere else?
I think that's one of the downstream effects of this bill. That particular section, if I'm getting your the right section from
it's let me find
is it 9(4) or
it's sub 9 of something way back earlier.
I think you
five.
Could.
Yeah, it's sub 9 of section 5.
Section 5. The as it's currently drafted, I think, and as alluded to here, there seems to be some concern about the Aleutian goose as a species that we don't have the ability to really affect the recovery of. And I think one of the reasons we've been meeting with different staff is to be able to come up with some language that would say if it doesn't spend a significant part of its life in the state of Oregon in terms of its reproductive cycle, and that we by removing it, we will not imperil its recovery elsewhere. And that kind of language could be much more useful. That's unfortunately not within this this bill. In terms of, I'm sorry, I was section 5 was where we were at, correct?
Yeah, way back toward the end of section 5, just before section 6.
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to get there in my notes. There's a number of criteria on section 5 that concern us. The delisting criteria in 1995 were put in. The inability to actually list for political reasons, in other words, culturally, scientific, or commercial value, was put in as a reason not to list a species in 1995. It's the only state in the union that has an Endangered Species Act where we have non-scientific criteria in our bill. Now we're taking that that clause that would prevent us from listing a species and applying it to the delisting. So if we have currently listed species, we can now, if we determine they have no scientific, cultural, commercial value, take those species off the list, whether or not they are recovered in the state. And we applaud the Fish and Wildlife Department for its move toward a recovery standard, and we think that's important. We would hope it would mean something as opposed to just a general goal. If I remember the legislation correctly, it asked the Fish and Wildlife Service to prioritize recovery efforts, not to establish them, but to prioritize recovery efforts by the year 2010, just in time for my 52nd birthday.
That's not going to get him any votes, is it?
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Thank you.
Committee, give you each member a couple moments to take a look at these amendments and to consider your vote, and the committee will stand at ease. We reopen the work session on House Bill 2458. Representative Zoner.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 2458.
Those in favor of any objections? Any discussion?
The dash two is not, sorry.
The same thing as the bill.
Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Rosenbaum.
No.
Representative Greenwood.
No.
Representative Doyle.
Aye.
Representative Ackerman.
No.
Representative Zoner.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Chair Garrard.
Chair votes aye. The dash two amendments are added to House Bill 2458. Representative Zoner.
I forgot to ask whether this is going to allow Representative Zoner to shoot swans. Yeah, is this anything?
There was no mention of swans.
This was.
Well, that was Roy would care to.
ODF&W does not care to comment.
It's not a swan bill.
We can add an amendment over on the Senate side.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move 2458 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Zoner has moved House Bill 2458 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Well, I will be voting no on this bill, although I realize that this would be my chance to change my record, which was so ably described by the chair at our committee party as having carried 50% of the bills I voted for in this committee, but I doubt that I'd be allowed to carry this one anyway. So, because I suspect that the sponsor of the bill might want to carry it. So, but I speak in jest. I do have significant reservations about this bill, as I did about House Bill 2468 when we voted on the floor on it. And I also think that, though I'm not an expert, this discussion begins to call into question why we have a State Endangered Species Act at all, and I think maybe what underlines the debate is that there are those who believe we should have a federal act and not a state act. And though I think this bill may make some attempts to make our law more workable, I believe that it goes way too far in limiting the authority of the department to do things that will be for the benefit of both sportsmen and people who care about species and people who farm the land. And so I'm concerned for all those reasons we'll be voting no.
Thank you for expressing your concern. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Chair, I too will try not lean on my cell phone and call 911 here.
We would hope, accidentally. We would hope the vote is not
stressful. I too would be voting no, but I think I'm a little more hopeful than my colleague here. I really do hope if this that we can continue to move towards a consensus statement. I think the current law is not very satisfactory either, and I would hope that if this, as I expect it will, gets to the Senate, it will restart the consensus process and try and get the parties together to get an improvement on the existing law that does move things forward and that all parties can be comfortable with. So I'm a little more hopeful.
Thank you, Representative. Any other discussion? Representative Ackerman.
Yes, I'm just a little bit more persuaded by the testimony of the last witness, although abbreviated, regarding the at least their contention or his contention that the permit process for taking of animals under certain circumstances could be waived and would not be subject to control or monitoring. We've heard a lot of this, particularly with respect to the gray wolf, and I'm just afraid that this is a shoehorn attempt to provide a method to begin the eradication of that of the gray wolf and the eradication of other species without adequate controls that were apparent in the existing law through a permitting process. So I don't like that broadening of the act. I also have some reservation of considering such substantial changes on abbreviated testimony and a record.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Rosenbaum.
No.
Representative Greenlight.
No.
Representative Doyle.
Aye.
Representative Ackerman.
No.
Representative Zahner.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Chair Garrard.
Chair votes aye. Representative Jensen, would you like to carry this bill? Representative Jensen will carry. House Bill 2458, as amended, is passed with a due pass recommendation, and we adjourn the House Committee on Environment and Land Use meeting.
Hey, Cliff, you want to get...